Christmas Eve service at Redeemer Community Church. We're super excited about this. I love the fact that we get to still meet in the high school here tonight and worship the Lord together. So this is a family service, and we love the kiddos. I have four of my own. They make a joyful noise. It's okay if your kids are a little rambunctious tonight. You can bribe them, though, because tomorrow's Christmas. So that's up to you. I'll leave that up to you, though. Care cards will be coming around. You guys can fill those out and pass them through the rows and just make your way back, make it back to the back there. And then last person can stick that under your seat. But I want to dig in. This morning, this is weird. You have your catchphrases? Anybody? Anybody have, like, when you don't even think about what you're saying? You just say it? That's kind of one of those for me. So if you do have a Bible, and I hope you do. If you don't, we do have some at the welcome table back there. If you need a Bible to take home with you, we'd love to give you one of those for free, our Christmas gift to you. And then, but if you don't, it'll be up here tonight. And we have been going through the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, on Sunday mornings since October. Since the very first Sunday, we did something for our first Sunday, and then since then, we've been in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to continue where we left off. Tonight, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 25 of chapter 4. If you do have one of our Bibles, it's on page 890. But like I say, if not, it's up here on the screen. So, you're gonna get this passage, and you're gonna go, "What in the world does this have to do with Christmas?" Okay, I think it's okay for us to not use a traditional Christmas passage. All of Scripture speaks about Christ, right? And Jesus is the central figure in the Christmas story. And so from any place in Scripture, we can get to where we need to go tonight. And so we're going to continue in Mark, and we're going to get the parable of the soils, or of the sower, depending on how the headlines are in your Bible. And I think that that this passage, even though it's not a traditional Christmas passage, it's going to have some pretty significant Christmas implications for us. And so I want to pray for our time and then jump in together. So would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that you would illuminate our minds with your word. I pray that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see your truth clearly, and that you'd soften our hearts with your spirit to receive and to believe this wonderful news of a Savior who came, who died, and who rose again for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever said something to someone and like you might be talking for a little bit and then you realize that they're not listening to you? Parents? Anybody? Wives? I want to ask the husbands, because how do you know when somebody's not listening to you? Typically, they either respond incorrectly, like if you're soliciting a response from them, they say the wrong thing, or they don't respond at all, right? You're like, what did I just say? I've never said that to my kids. They may have heard you, but they're not actually listening to you, right? There's a difference. And I think that we all have this tendency to hear sometimes, but we don't actually listen all the time. And as a result, we fail to respond correctly, or we fail to respond at all. And this is the case even at Christmas time, because we hear this Christmas story, right? We all know the Christmas story, but I wonder how often we actually listen to its message and truly respond to it. And so tonight, our passage is going to help us see that we can't just simply hear this Christmas story. We need to listen to it and respond to it. We need to respond to Jesus through it. And so let's dig in here. Mark chapter 4, 1 through 9, Jesus is going to give this parable of the sower. Verse 1, it says, "Again he began to teach by the sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him. So he got into a boat on the sea and sat down, while the whole crowd was by the sea on the shore. He taught them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, 'Listen, consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly, since the soil wasn't deep. When the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it didn't produce fruit. Still other seed fell on the good ground, and it grew up, producing fruit that increased 30, 60, and 100 times. And then he said, let anyone who has ears to hear listen. Now, chapter 4 and chapter 13 of Mark are the only two chapters. This is an action-packed gospel, but in these two chapters, Mark slows down and zooms in for us on some of Jesus' teaching. This is an extensive chapter on teaching that Jesus gives with his with the crowds and with his disciples. And in chapter 4 in particular, Jesus' teaching comes in the form of parables. Now, if we remember, parables are these short stories from everyday life that use common concepts in order to draw onto an important point that everybody can understand. So Jesus tells the crowds two parables in this chapter here. The one that we just read about, that's the parable of the sower, and then one that we're going to read in a minute, that's the parable of the lamp. Now, sowing seeds by hand was this common agricultural practice in Jesus' day, and everyone used oil lamps to light the rooms in their houses. And so this crowd was familiar with all of these images that Jesus used. And I'm not going to explain this parable that we just read because Jesus actually is going to explain it for us in a minute. But I want to cover a couple things real quick before we move on. I want to point out two things that we need to remember, and this is it. The first one is that Jesus begins the parable with a key phrase in verse 3. He says, listen, consider the sower. Listen, consider the sower. And when he's finished telling the parable, then in verse 9, he says, anyone who has ears to hear, listen. And then the second thing is that in the parable of the sower, Jesus focuses on the sower, but he also mentions the seed, and he also mentions the soils or the ground, those types. And so the sower sows the seed, tongue twister, in four places, and the seed only produces fruit in one out of the four. 25% success rate there. Okay, so these are things we need to kind of think about as we move through this. So Jesus is doing the teaching here, but we got to remember we're reading Mark's account of this. So Mark is presenting this to us in a way that he wants us to know some things about what's happening here. Mark's not concerned in his gospel about keeping things in chronological order. And so we have in between, he often weaves stories together to emphasize a spiritual point. And so he interrupts this scene. Jesus is by the Sea of Galilee with a large crowd. And then Mark interrupts this scene to bring Jesus into a private time with his disciples. And then we'll come back to the scene at the shore. And we're going to listen in, though, in these next verses on the conversation that Jesus has in private with his disciples about this parable. Now, these next seven verses contain the only teaching of Jesus in this whole chapter that isn't disguised in a parable. He's teaching it. It's clear and it's direct here, and it comes only when he's alone with his disciples. That's an important detail because what we're about to read is the key to understanding everything else that Jesus is talking about here. So we need to take a look at this. Verses 10 through 12. It says, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. He answered them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those outside, everything comes in parables so that they may indeed look and yet not perceive. They may indeed listen and yet not understand. Otherwise, they might turn back and be forgiven. So in between Jesus telling this parable of the sower and in between Jesus explaining the parable of the sower, Mark sandwiches in this little segment. And this is a clue to us as readers that what Jesus says here is actually going to give us the meaning, the deeper meaning of the parable. Itself. And so, again, Jesus does two things here. He gives us the reason for why he teaches in parables. And in doing that, then he makes this distinction between those who are inside God's kingdom and those who are outside God's kingdom. Now, the parables serve as this wall that separates those who are God's people from those who aren't. And the parables both reveal and they conceal things. They reveal the secret of the kingdom to those who are on the inside, God's people, and they conceal the secret of the kingdom from those on the outside. And Jesus quotes Isaiah 6, 9 through 10, and says that those on the outside, they'll look, but they won't perceive. They'll hear, they'll listen, but they won't understand. If they did that, if they perceived, if they understood, then they would turn, they would repent, they would turn away from their sin, they would turn back toward him, and they would be forgiven. But in case, as we read this, we start to think, we get tempted and be like, well, I'm on the inside, they're on the outside, and we think that we can become insiders in the kingdom of God on our own, we need to be reminded about what Jesus says in verse 11. He says that the secret to the kingdom is given. It's given. That means that knowledge and understanding of God and his kingdom cannot be attained by natural means. It has to be attained by supernatural means. It has to be given to us by God himself. You can't receive the seed without the sower. You can't understand the secret of God's kingdom unless the king reveals it to you. And so Jesus still actually has to explain this parable even to the disciples. And so we need to look at verse 13. And then he said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand all of the parables? The sower sows the word. Some are like the word sown on the path. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word sown in them. And others are like seed sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. But they have no root. They're short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, they immediately fall away. Others are like seed sown among thorns. Others are like seed sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the worries of this age, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those like the seed sown on the good ground, they hear the word, they welcome it, and they produce fruit 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown. You remember what Jesus said right before and right after he told this parable? He began the parable by saying, listen, consider the sower. And then after, when he finished the parable, he said, let anyone who has ears to hear, listen. Now this parable of the sower is the parable that sets up all other parables. Jesus says, if you don't understand this one, you're not going to understand any of the other ones. And that's because the parable reveals the way of understanding God's kingdom. You must consider the sower and listen to him. Consider the sower and listen to him. Jesus is the sower. He sows the seed, which is the word, the seed of the gospel. And those who hear the gospel are like seed sown on one of four places, on the path, on the rocky ground, among the thorns, or on good ground. Now, the first three of these soils are superficial. It goes in one ear and out the other. These are people who hear, but they don't listen. The good news of the gospel, it's just kind of fluff to them. One commentator on Mark's gospel puts it this way. He says, Satan, persecution, and the cares of the world spell havoc for those who give the gospel only a casual hearing. In this parable, three-quarters of the seed that's sown is lost. Three-quarters. Anybody farmers in here? That's not great, right? Yeah. Three-quarters of the seed that's sown is lost. But the seed that takes root in the good soil, he says that it produces a crop 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown. Now, the good soil yields this harvest that far outweighs the loss of the seed in the other three soils. Back then, in that day, 10 times was considered a really good crop. 30, 60, 100 times. That was considered sheer blessing from God. Jesus' parables confirm the state of the listener's heart. Those who are his will be given understanding into these parables, and those who are not will be proven by their disbelief of them. And so we're here at a Christmas Eve service. It's Christmas Eve. And so the question that we got to ask is, what does this have to do with Christmas, right? I don't know if there's a better time for us to consider the sower than now. It's just built in to our culture right now. It's built in for us. This is a holiday that is supposed to be about Jesus, right? There's something about Christmas. There's something about Easter that draws crowds of people into churches that wouldn't normally go there on a different Sunday. And the Christmas story itself has become sort of this parable of sorts, revealing the kingdom of God to some and concealing it from others. The seed of the gospel is sown generously this time of year as we sing the songs, as we celebrate our risen, the birth of our Savior. But many who hear this story will be like the seed sown on the path. When they hear, immediately Satan will come and snatch the seed from them before it can take root. They'll see Christmas as nothing more than a yearly tradition that means going to church, just like Halloween means carving a pumpkin. When the calendar changes, they'll move on to New Year's Eve, to Valentine's Day, to whatever else. And they won't give the Christmas story a second thought. Others who hear the Christmas story will be like the seed sown on the rocky ground. They'll hear the gospel. They'll receive it with tidings of comfort and joy. They'll make New Year's resolutions. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to go to church more. But then as soon as friends and family members and coworkers and neighbors and classmates notice this change in them and they start to ridicule them for it, that joy is short-lived because the gospel never actually took root into their hearts. They like the idea that God sent his son to them, but they don't have the conviction to live it out in a day-to-day response to the good news of the gospel. Then there are others who will hear the Christmas story and they'll be like the seed sown among the thorns. They'll look for satisfaction in the number of presents under the tree or in how much they can give to other people. They'll go into debt in order to show others how much Christmas spirit they have. They'll worry about all the people that they feel like they need to buy something for, and they'll wonder how they can stretch their budget to do that. In either case, the gospel's choked out by wrapping paper and Christmas lights and decorations. And they miss out on the one free gift that actually satisfies. The one free gift that actually can bring them peace in a time where they just feel overwhelmed. And then still there are others who hear the Christmas story and they'll be like the seed sown on good ground. The gospel won't go in one ear and out the other. But instead, it'll settle in the fertile soil of a softened heart, and it will sprout love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, fruit of the Spirit. And they'll celebrate Christmas, they'll give and receive gifts, and they'll do that with joy and gladness, but they'll do it knowing that nothing they could ever give, nothing they could ever receive can compare to what they've already been given in Jesus Christ. Their satisfaction is in him, and their desire to live for him will continue long after the Christmas decorations get packed away, stuck in a box, and thrown back in the attic. And not only that, but they themselves become the sowers of the seed, and they reap spiritual harvest beyond anything that they can imagine. And that's because Jesus is faithful to shine the light of the gospel into their lives and give them greater and greater understanding of the secret of God's kingdom. And that brings us to the other parable here in verse 21. We're back at the Sea of Galilee with Jesus and the large crowd. He also said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed? Isn't it to be put on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed, and nothing concealed that will not be brought to light. If anyone has ears to hear, listen. Let him listen." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. By the measure you use it, it will be measured to you, and more will be added to you. For whoever has, more will be given to him. And whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him." Jesus is the lamp that has come, who has come to shine the illuminating light of the gospel into the hearts of his people. Nothing that he hides in the parables to the large crowds will he conceal to those who he calls his own, from his true followers. Jesus is the light by which people are able to see the kingdom of God. And they grow in their understanding in its secrets because of him. But many miss out because they're not paying attention. Even though they have ears to hear the Christmas story, they don't listen to the gospel that it holds within. And so they remain in the dark, even though the light has come. In Isaiah chapter 9, the prophet Isaiah predicts the coming one who will rescue Israel from its oppressors and graciously rule over them in an eternal kingdom. But this king, Isaiah says, this king will come as a child. It's like the prequel to the Christmas story here. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. You have enlarged the nation and increased its joy. The people have rejoiced before you as they rejoice at harvest time and as they rejoice when dividing spoils. For you have shattered their oppressive yoke and the rod on their shoulders and the staff of your oppressor, just as you did on the day of Midian. For every trampling boot of battle and the bloodied garments of war will be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child will be born for us. A son will be given to us. And the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast. A harvest, 30, 60, 100-fold. And its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. Listen. If you have ears to hear, listen. Consider Jesus as the seed of David who has come as the eternal king. And like a fragile seed exposed to the elements, he came to us as a baby and endured all of life's sufferings, and yet he obeyed the Father completely and perfectly. And as a seed dies and is buried in the ground so that it can produce fruit, that it can produce life, so did Jesus die as he bore the guilt of our sin and our shame on the cross. He was buried in the ground, shrouded in death and darkness, until 3 days later he burst forth in glorious light, and now he brings light and life to men. To all who turn from their sin and trust in him, let anyone who has ears to hear listen. Listen to this good news and take it to heart. Don't just celebrate Christmas another year. Respond to Jesus. Respond to Christ. Don't remain outside his kingdom. Look and perceive. Listen and understand. Turn back and be forgiven. Don't miss the true gift of God in Jesus Christ. He's the light that's come. He's the seed of the gospel that's been sown. Behold the King of the eternal kingdom. Turn from your sin. Trust him and enter in. For those of you in here who have heard, who have seen, who have received the seed of the gospel in good soil, you are now sowers of this seed. You are now bearers of this light. And so for you, the challenge this Christmas is to sow generously, knowing that a majority of the seed that you sow will be lost. Shine brightly, knowing that you go out into a world full of darkness. But do it this season and every season. Do it this night and every night. Do it tomorrow on Christmas Day and the day after and the day after and the day after. As ones who've been brought into the kingdom of God through no power of your own, you have the light and the seed to go and tell others of this power of God to save. The gospel is the power of God for salvation for those who believe. Go and invite people to hear the good news and believe it. They might not come back here, but you can go to them. Pray for the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit to reveal the secret of the kingdom of God to them and to produce then a harvest of 30, 60, and 100-fold what is sown. We're going to close with a couple songs by candlelight. So the ushers are going to hand out candles. They're safety candles so your kids can use them too. The switch is on the bottom. But you guys can stand up with us as we get ready to sing this. We need to remember. The gospel will not bear fruit in the lives of those who do not listen to it. It only bears fruit in those who hear it and consider the sower. True disciples are those who hear Jesus' words, who receive them and bear fruit from them. And they do so because the secret of the kingdom has been revealed to them by the King himself, Jesus Christ. The Christmas story reveals this King to us. So as we sing these last two Christmas carols by candlelight, may we indeed look and perceive. May we indeed listen and understand. And may we behold our King as forgiven children of the kingdom. Amen. Lord, we love you and we thank you that you've come to us. We praise you for your goodness and the light that you bring into our darkened lives. And we thank you, God, that you've made us yours. We pray that you'd help us to be sowers of this gospel seed, to be bearers of this gospel light, that many, many, many people would come into your kingdom through the ministry and the people here at Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen.